It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target. Work the hardest, with passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Hey, what's up everybody? It's Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. Thanks for listening, you guys. Super awesome. So yeah, let's get into some updates and whatnot. Sorry for the last podcast was a little bit rough. Had some technical issues. Seems like I always have technical issues. I guess I'm finding out that as awesome as the iPhone is, it certainly has its limitations. And I guess I have like 5 gigs on the iPhone. And I kind of thought that was a lot, you know, enough, plenty, but I guess not. Especially trying to do videos. I've been doing the making comics for 100 days videos. I did episode number 10 yesterday. And, you know, I'm recording them on my phone. And, you know, same issue. After about 5-6 minutes, it starts to say I have no more room on my phone. And, you know, I try to go through and delete as much stuff as possible, but one of these videos is taking up like 3 gigs or more sometimes. And I'm only doing them for a short video. I thought I could maybe make a lot like big videos even on this phone. But I guess that's not going to happen. I might have to go out and buy something for that. Because my wife makes longer videos too for her makeup and stuff. So, you know, and we were hoping she could use her phone for that and whatnot. But, you know, it's all right. It's a lot better than not being able to make videos at all and not having the technology to do this stuff, you know. Many years ago, you know, 10 years ago, I struggled trying to know how to put stuff up on eBay. Because back then, I think you had to know some things. You had to know some HTML to really do it right. And now you don't really need that so much. So, you know, things are a lot better, a lot easier now, so can't complain. So, yeah, let's see, what else? Like I said, I've been doing the making comics thing, and this is going to be kind of a random podcast. It'll probably be somewhat short, maybe. You never know. I tend to ramble on forever. It's weird. I'm not a talkative person at all, but, you know, when it comes to art and music and fun stuff like this, I guess I tend to ramble on. And I feel like I could talk for forever, you know, so that's cool. I guess that's an indication that I should keep doing it. But yeah, been working on the comic stuff. I'm not, you know, it's kind of, it's actually really interesting what I'm learning about myself and what I'm learning about making comics through this experience. You know, previously, it's well documented on this podcast, you know, I made the, you know, the Glyph mini comics and stuff, and, you know, those were just kind of, you know, I kind of put a loose plot together in my head, maybe outlined it on one page of paper, and then maybe did some thumbnails again on like one page of paper, and just pretty much went right to the pages and started drawing and inking them. And you know, even that was involved in kind of a lot of work, but fun and manageable, you know. What I'm finding out now, I'm doing a bigger, you know, comic. It's not as easy. I mean, I put limitations on myself for the last two comics because I knew it was hard work. So I didn't put myself in a position where I had to draw a lot of different places and create a lot of different characters, you know. It revolved around just a few characters and a few places and stuff that I knew how to draw. Well, this one I'm doing, I mean, I'm doing a few comics, but, you know, the one I'm mainly focusing on is the Travelers and then also Resident Aliens. So, you know, I didn't write either of these two comics. And especially Travelers, you know, I mean, I kind of had my hand in writing both of them a little bit, you know. I mean, when we're plotting things out and mapping things out, you know, we've discussed things and with Jamie Gamble and then with Shannon Owens, who's the writer for Travelers. And I've had a lot of input, but I haven't been totally writing it, and the idea hasn't 100% originated from me. In fact, with the Travelers, it's mostly originated from Shannon Owens. And, you know, but I've had a lot of input on the direction of it, though, at the same time, but still. So, anyways, the point is, you know, when I've noticed when I write my own, you know, Glyph comics, which, like I said, the writing is limited, but I can't help but write things that I want to draw, you know what I mean? Like, I don't put certain things in, like, crowd scenes or, you know, car chase scenes or, you know, things that I feel like will be difficult to draw, I think by default. Like, I don't really think of it that way, but it seems like I don't. So, you know, with the Travelers, it's like a cool story and everything, but, you know, there's no, like, guys running around with costumes type of thing, at least not yet. And, you know, all the main characters in the beginning of the plot is pretty much, you know, average people, I guess. You know, like people in business suits or, you know, just workers or like little kids or whatever. But they're not like, you know, funny looking characters in costumes type of thing. So at this point, like with this comic, the first issue, there's not really a lot much for like fantastic type of environments either. So, you know, I have to draw things that I would never normally draw just sitting down to a blank page for fun, you know? Except for, you know, normal people. I mean, I do that. I love doing, I told you about the sketchy app and, you know, I love doing, like, portraits and stuff for practice and stuff, so, but even then, you know, I'll choose people who are, pictures of people who are doing funny, making funny faces or have kind of a interesting look to them or something like that. So, I guess that's what I have to do because I haven't even really created the characters yet, like, the design for the characters because, like, I'm not sure where to go. Like, I have to draw kind of normal people. So, but, you know, I guess there is, like, in face shapes and, you know, I have to try to think creatively about that. And it's something that's totally new territory for me. And, like, body types and stuff. So, kind of struggling with that. But, you know, I'm going to be working it out, you know. I'm going to try my best to work these things out a bit, and hopefully I can kind of get some things, some keys to figuring this out where it won't be such a struggle. So, because I've tried to design the two main characters so far, and, you know, I got kind of a basic design, but they don't feel, like, super inspired. I'm just drawing somebody, you know, a guy who kind of looks of Mexican descent, Hispanic descent of some sort, you know, which is kind of a general look. You know, I'm not trying to make him look like really anything like specific or unique. And then the sun as well, you know, he doesn't really have any specific, like, unique features. At least not yet. Maybe I need to figure that out, but, you know, I'm also not used to reading even comics that have a lot of, super unique body types and face types, you know. You know, you look at, you know, X-Men or, like, something drawn by Jim Lee or like, Rob Liefeld's probably the worst example, because every single face looks the same for the most part, and even Kirby's kind of like that too, but he's definitely a lot more uniqueness to faces and stuff, but compared to, like, Rob, no offense to Rob, I actually like his stuff, but, I'm probably one of the few, at least in the artist circle. I know a lot of people diss his stuff or whatever. But anyways, you know, these different artists, especially, you know, Jim Lee's a good example. He's a great artist, you know, but a lot of his faces look like the typical, you know, chisel jaw type of guy, superhero, and, you know, cute chick for the girls and stuff, and, you know, there might be a little variation, but it's not super different, you know. Probably more variation in hairstyle than anything, you know, within the face. So, but, you know, I don't know, Todd McFarlane's pretty good at making having different faces for people, so maybe I should look more at that, you know. Stuff like his stuff, or a lot of the modern artists, too, are a little better at that, you know. So, you know, maybe I should look at some more comics and focus on trying to see how they do that. I know you're not supposed to learn how to draw from comics and stuff, but I do what I can do, the best I can do, you know. I consider myself pretty much at an amateur level, sort of, you know. I mean, I've been drawing all my life, but it's been spotty, and yeah, I can pull off some pretty cool drawings at times, but, you know, I'm still, you know, doing these comics shows me that I'm still kind of at an amateur level, especially if I compare myself, you know, which you're not supposed to do that, I guess, but if I compare myself to, you know, some of the pros out there and whatnot, and I'm not saying that as a, you know, self-depreciating thing or whatever. I'm just looking at my stuff honestly. Like, I don't care if my stuff sucks or whatever. It doesn't really bother me that much. Because I know, I don't know, I do like some of the stuff that I do, and I can realistically look at my weaknesses and be like, all right, I'm kind of, if anything, excited to learn how to do this better. I just wish I had more time, is the thing. So, you know, what I'm kind of realizing, and I realize even when I did the mini comics, every time I did one, I'm like, all right, I got to buckle down and learn how to draw before I do my next comic. You know, like, I feel, you know, a lot of people talk about, they kind of feel like frauds a lot of the time, because you get to a point where you find your limitations and you're like, oh, I'm a fraud, I shouldn't be doing this, you know. The whole insecurity thing, but it is true. I mean, I probably should do a lot more sketching and figure studies and just studies on all different kinds of things, animals, furniture, perspective, landscapes, but you know, I kind of figured doing these comic projects was going to be a good way to kind of do that. You know, it's pushing me. That's the thing that's interesting is, you know, like I said, I'm not writing these books too much, so, like, it's pushing me to draw things that I wouldn't normally draw. And I think that's healthy, you know what I mean? And, you know, an observation I've made recently, because I'm a big fan of Eric Larson's art and comic books, and I think Savage Dragon is one of the most awesome examples of a creator-owned comic in the superhero genre. And that really takes a lot of the cool things that I love about comics and just goes all out with it, you know. And plus, he's such a big fan of Kirby that, you know, his art is very Kirby-esque, you know. And so, and he even says that, you know, he'll even admit, you know, I pretty much draw like Kirby as much as I can type of thing, you know. Not trying to put words in his mouth, but, I mean, he's not trying to imitate him 100%. He's got his own style. But, you know, you could see the influence. It's not, you know, he doesn't try to hide the influence, basically, is the point. So, anyways, his stuff is really awesome. Always very amazing. I mean, I think I first heard about him when Image first started. I was, like, just, I was already into, like, Rob Liefeld and, McFarlane at that point, especially Rob Liefeld, you know, because he was pretty much my introduction to cool, like, comic book art. X-Force number one was my first comic I ever, like, bought with my own money, or, so, yeah, Eric Larson, you know, was part of the whole Image startup, and I think because I was into, you know, Rob Liefeld and all those guys, I started taking more notice of all the other creators. I think, I don't know, it's hard to remember, because I did know about, like, Jim Lee and stuff, and Wills Portacio was, like, for the longest time, my favorite artist. So I think I did already know these guys before Image, but it wasn't long after, you know, I got into these guys that Image formed, and, you know, Eric Larson, I think, might have been when that's how I found out about him, but then I immediately went back and looked for his other comics and stuff. Like, he worked on Spider-Man and Doom Patrol, and, like, back then I didn't know about Doom Patrol, but I knew about Spider-Man. And I'm sure he worked on a bunch of other ones, and I need to actually research that because I want to collect more of his stuff from before Image. But, you know, the whole point of this is the observation I've made with his art is, and more now than before, is because he writes his own comic, and he's been doing it for a long time, and he's like, I mean, I think he's getting up to his 300th, it's going to be his 300th issue, either 300 or 200, I want to say 300 though, he's working up to that now, and you know, so he knows the world intimately. He's done it, he's brought Savage Dragon to all kinds of different places, and right now, the actual Savage Dragon character is actually in jail, and his son is really the main character of the book, and I think he even said on the letters page that, you know, in his comic book, people are going to get old, and basically, Savage Dragon is, I think, pretty much done. I mean, I'm sure he'll make some kind of a resurgence, but now he's on to his kid being Savage Dragon, you know. His story. So, I think that's kind of cool. But the point is, if I could ever get around to it, is, you know, because he's writing his own book and he knows his world so well, sometimes I wonder, like, I think he does challenge himself, you know, in certain ways, but not as much as if somebody else was writing the book, you know. You could tell it's sometimes really very much in his comfort zone. There's not as much detailed stuff. Like, you don't see, like, certain kind of scenes that you would see maybe if somebody else was writing it, or I don't know. You could see where he's gotten a little bit in his comfort zone. I mean, he's mastered the art, you know, to a certain point, you know, to his own level that he likes to make comics. And he does push himself because he tries different styles out and stuff. And, you know, it's very awesome to watch him do these things through Savage Dragon. But, you know, I don't know. Like, when I look back at some of his Spider-Man books and stuff, for some reason I feel like there's more visual depth, you know what I mean? And sometimes tighter pencils, too, like... You know, he was working for a company and getting probably paid by the page. And, you know, I'm sure his position at Image is different. You know, he's one of the owners, I guess. I don't know how that is all set up. I know he was, like, the, like, chief editor, pretty much taking care of the whole company at one point. And he doesn't do that anymore, but I think he's still kind of right up there. And I'm sure he must get, some of the money that Image gets from just all of the sum total of what Image produces. So, because he's like one of the only creators who's still like stuck there through the whole time that started it. So, you know, I don't know how the money works or whatever, but I think he has more responsibilities than just doing his own comic. And I, you know, the fact that he doesn't put it out every single month and it kind of comes out sporadically tells me that he's making his living not just off of his one comic. So I think that's freaking awesome, but you know, I think he's a little bit in his comfort zone, and I think, like I said, his stuff maybe back in Marvel where he was probably pushed to draw things he wouldn't normally push. Plus, he was younger then and, you know, trying to make his way and prove himself. So, you know, sometimes the drawings are a little tighter and stuff like that. Like I said, not ragging on the guy at all. I think he's at the point he's at, you know, and I love his art now and I loved his art back then, you know. He's definitely one of my favorite books, is Savage Dragon, and always has been since it started. Whenever I get I've gone back and forth from getting a pull list at a comic shop, and every time I do, I always put Savage Dragon back on the list, you know. And I wish I always at least got Savage Dragon so I could have a complete set, and eventually I will complete the set, I think, but you know, it's been pretty much my favorite book for forever. So, that being said, you know, that, like I said, I'm not going to say the same point over and over again, but that's one thing I notice, is that when I'm trying to do art for something I didn't write, I'm being pushed, you know, to draw a lot of things that I wouldn't normally draw, which is actually awesome. And I actually enjoy the process, but it's also like this challenge to make comics for 100 days, you know, for 30 minutes a day. If it wasn't for this challenge, I really don't think I would have gotten hardly anywhere yet on the Traveler's comic, and now I'm, you know, working on the roughs for page 3. Still, it's kind of slow going, and I might need to ramp things up and maybe stop trying to do the roughs on the actual pages or something, and try to just do the roughs kind of like Kevin's doing them right now, page by page. Like, I mean, with, like, smaller pages, and they really are roughs, and then he's going to blow them up. But I don't really have a scanner printer situation where I'm able to really do that, but I'm hoping to get one soon. I'm actually trying to save up for that. But even still, I don't know if I'll do it that way necessarily. I'm trying to get it that large size scanner and printer for a few different reasons, actually. So, but we'll see. You know, it's progressing in a weird way, you know, the comic. But I'm glad I'm doing it. And, You know, on to be honest, you know, I'm not always motivated. A lot of times I find I'm not really motivated to do the comic, you know, on a particular day. Because it doesn't have a lot of things that I usually consider fun to draw. The second issue will have more of that, though. But, you know, this first issue is kind of figuring, starting the plot, you know, and a lot of little things have to happen, you know, before we get to the fantastical stuff. But there will be, you know, some money shots, I guess. I don't know if that's like a provocative term or something. I don't really know what it means in all these different circles, but it makes sense in this point is, you know, there will be like, you know, probably two or three splash pages or something that are going to be cool to look at, you know, and, you know, I'm trying my best to make it visually interesting, even though, you know, I mean, there's action. It's not like there's not action. There's plenty of that. But it's not the typical stuff that I would normally gravitate towards as far, you know, I like, you know, characters and costumes and crazy fantastical things. Like, I mean, I'm a big fan of Kirby, so there you go. That's the type of stuff I like, you know. So, you know, we'll get to that. But, you know, I'm trying with this material to still make it visually interesting, and I'm going to do my best because that's the kind of comics I like. So that's kind of the challenges I'm running into. But one thing I'm really think is interesting is, and I think that to make comics, I'm going to always have to have this kind of 100 working, you know, doing comics for 100 days, like this kind of challenge situation where I have people keeping me accountable. I mean, maybe I'll get to a point where I master it a little bit, to a point where maybe I don't need that. But, I mean, for a good example, Kevin Cross, in my opinion, has mastered the art of creating comics a lot more than I have. And, you know, he kind of is approaching this and knowing what he's doing. And, you know, his illustrations are definitely a lot better than mine. And, you know, and it's just, he even needs this kind of thing to keep him going. And I think he mentioned on Peter Palmiotti's podcast that after the 100 days is up, he knows the comic isn't going to be finished. He's probably going to do another 100 days. So, awesome. And I'm probably going to do the same thing. But, you know, starting with 100 days, maybe I'll adjust it to something else, 50 days or, I don't know, who knows. But whatever it's going to be, I'm going to probably do something like this to continue and keep these things going until I get finished with these books, you know. And then, you know, we'll see. And one thing that I'm also noticing, too, is maybe I don't want to be a comic artist. I don't know. Because the technical skills it takes to create an amazing comic book, even just one issue, you know, especially when you're doing most of the things, like the drawing, the sketching, the designing, the, you know, the getting into printing stuff and pagination and coloring and inking and, you know, lettering, all these things. You know, the technical skills it takes to really master this stuff is enormous. And storytelling and writing, I mean, it's just absolutely enormous. And, I mean, I feel like, you know, you need to basically go through 4 years of college just to kind of, you know, learn the stuff. And that's just even before you get a mastery of it, you know. But, you know, I don't have money to take to go to college for it. And, you know, there's not a ton of colleges out there that offer programs for it anyways. Or even if they do they do a good job? I don't know. I'm sure the Kubert School is pretty darn good. And Savannah School of Art has a good program from what I hear. But it doesn't matter because none of that's in my scope to actually do. You know, I'm just going to learn by doing and tutorials and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe I don't want to do comics as much as I thought I did because, I mean, I think I do. I think I'll always keep chipping away on comics, but as the ultimate dream, like, I want to be a comic artist, you know, and make a living at doing that, I probably won't quite do it that way. I think I'm going to make a living, if I do find a way to make a living with art, it's going to be a combination of things, and comics is going to maybe be the driving factor of it, meaning, like, because it's storytelling, and a lot of ancillary, I don't really know how to say that word, to tell you the truth, a lot of extra things are going to be stemmed from the comics and the story, you know, like I said, I can make toys, you know, shoot off with maybe a musical project of some sort, you know, selling prints of the artists. I'm even thinking of some other things too recently, which I'll talk about soon, but yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of, I grew up with this dream of making comics for a living, you know, and now that I'm actually kind of doing it, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe it's not, especially learning what I've learned about the industry, it's almost impossible to really make a living at comics unless, you know, you're, I mean, like, I think Jonathan Rector could probably make a good go of it. But he's so high and far above me as an artist. You know, like, I don't know, maybe one day I'll get to that skill level, but he's got that style that I think would translate well into mainstream comics. And even these people, but there's so many artists out there that have gotten to that level. Like, it's just the, there's not enough demand for the surplus of artists out there, you know. There's so many artists doing it, and so many that are really good, you know. So it's, you know, nobody values that skill, even though it's an amazing skill, that takes so much work to hone and get good at. Nobody values it. So not enough to, so that a lot of artists can make a living off of it. So it's rough. Not saying you shouldn't try and you shouldn't go for it if you really want to do that, but I mean, I'm so far behind on this. You know, first I have to get to the level of that mastery, which is going to take years and years and years, especially when I'm working a day job and I only have a half an hour to work on it a day. So, you know, That's really, I kind of belabored that point, yeah, but that doesn't matter. I do want to make a living being an artist, doing creative things, whether it's music or art or writing or something like that, you know, or hopefully a combination of those, because I like doing all of them. So that's kind of my goal now. I don't want to be just only a quote-unquote comic book artist, you know, anymore. And that's okay, because my interests constantly shift and I'm always getting into all kinds of other things. So instead of fighting that tendency, I mean, I do have to try to learn how to focus, but instead of fighting being interested in everything, you know, let's do some jujitsu and use that momentum. So, I think of a lot of things like that with this business stuff and art. You know, it's one of the main principles, pretty much the main principle in jiu-jitsu, is using your opponent's, using their I want to keep wanting to say motivation, but that's not the word. Momentum. Using their momentum against them. So if they throw a punch, all right, cool, you get out of the way of the punch and use that momentum from the punch and kind of slide them off into a... You can like flip them over and like get them into a chokehold or something like that, you know. And there's a lot of techniques of how to do that in many different ways, depending on what, you know, the fighter, your opponent is doing. And you know, if you're really good at it, I mean, you could sit there all day long and not ever get hurt and really not even throw a punch. You don't even have to throw a punch because you can just keep trapping people in their own movements. Now, of course, other fighters are know this too, so, you know, you could probably get into a stalemate with it. It could be a really boring fight. That's kind of what happens sometimes, even in, like, boxing matches. I remember watching, my dad was really into boxing and stuff, so I watch boxing matches sometimes, and, you know, you get into this point where you go for rounds where nobody's really throwing a punch, or nobody's actually hitting the other opponent because they're both playing so defensively. Eventually, you got to play aggressively too, but, you know, certainly interesting. And there's parallels with that as well with business, but, you know, so anyways, it's cool to look at other things to get ideas into this art business and stuff. So yeah, learning a lot about myself and a lot about making comics through this. I also learned, some of these panels are, you know, take some perspective work, and I know very little about it. You know, I mean, I've read a lot of different comic art books and stuff, and, you know, I kind of figured out the basic gist of it, even just by looking at the pictures, but I really got to hunker down and learn a little more of the ins and outs of perspective to get some of these things I'm trying to get across better. Like, it's hard to do perspective when your vanishing point is so far off the page that, like, I don't know how to do that yet. That's a really tough one. Also, the interiors of rooms are, that's where you run into that a lot. And, you know, we'll see. But it's good. I mean, this is all practice, you know. And what I'm learning is some things with perspective is really not even that hard. It's just a matter of, you know, finding your vanishing point and drawing all the lines to it and then constructing your environment. And it's kind of fun, actually. I kind of dig it. But it takes time, you know, that's one thing. And, you know, that's one thing with these comic projects. You know, at first I kind of ran at it like almost rushing. I just want to get them done. You know, I want to get this stuff done, you know, but I'm putting less of a priority on it, you know, now. Now that I see how much work it really is, I'm going to put in my 30 minutes. And if I'm working on a part of it that's really fun and exciting, I'll put in some more. But if I'm working on a panel like yesterday, I just did one panel. That's all I did for my 30 minutes. And all I did was work out the perspective in that panel. That's okay. I'm okay with that. It's going to take forever to get the comic done, but, you know, it's not like I'm doing it for money. I'm not getting paid for it. So I do want to get it done, though. But, you know, and I think the momentum will shift at different points, you know. When I get, like, a good chunk of it done, I'll get more motivated to get it finished, you know. But right now, it's so overwhelming that just to take those 30 minutes is, you know, it's hard enough to make myself do that. And, you know, maybe I'll build that muscle of, you know, doing the hard things and being able to push through them better, you know, by doing this. And that's another thing I'm learning about myself is... through, like I was talking about in the last couple episodes about that book, The War of Art, by Stephen Pressfield, I think is his name. You know, he talks about that with being a pro, you know. Basically, you get inspiration every time. You know, when do you get inspiration? 9 o'clock every morning when I get up and sit down at the desk and work. You know, you just got to make yourself get there. You know, you got to start. And that's really the hardest part, because there's already been a few days where I'm just like, I don't even want to do this, but I got to do it. Got to put in my 30 minutes. And to be honest, I even skipped one day. But that was mostly because of family. Like, family trumps my art and music often. And it's much bigger priority, in my opinion, than, you know, all this stuff. Even though I'm trying to make a business out of it. But at the same time, I heard something on a podcast or a YouTube video recently, is you do have to set apart and prioritize at least a part of your day to your creative pursuits every day, or else you're not really taking it seriously. So that's why, you know, this half hour isn't that big of a sacrifice. You know, it's something I can do. I can make myself do that at least. So, you know, I'm glad I'm doing that. Like I said, family always comes first, but still, you know, I can make myself do that at least. So, that sitting down and doing that 30 minutes, I actually really like that. I like that I can sit down and be like, you know what? Whatever I do today might suck, but I'm accomplishing my goal of doing 30 minutes today at least, even if it sucks. And I end up still getting progress. At least I'm getting progress. And instead of, you know, being overwhelmed, see, in that case, I'm being overwhelmed, but making a little progress at least. I'm still being overwhelmed, still making progress. But usually what happens and has happened in the past is I'd be overwhelmed and I would let it stop me and not make progress. And I would do my work in spurts, you know. So I'm building that muscle, you know. And I'm really happy. I mean, I can't believe how I'm actually excited that I'm doing work I'm not super excited about. You know, it's weird. And like sitting down, and even though I'm not making a lot of progress, I'm still excited that I'm making a little progress. You know, it's a whole different mindset than, you know, keep thinking in my mind, dreaming, oh, I'm going to do this, I want to make this amazing comic, and oh, I'm going to do this, and this, and this, and oh, you know what, this other project came, that's really cool too, I'm going to do that too, and just stacking project upon project, and then never actually finishing, or even sometimes starting any of them. You know, it's like psychotic, you know, the way I've been about these projects, and it's almost like a revelation. You know, sit down and do the work every day for, you know, an allotted amount of time at least. Just sit down and do it. Get your butt in the chair. Put that pencil in your hand and just do it. And it's a way different mindset. It's a going to work mindset, you know. But at least when I'm going to work, I'm doing something I actually like. Because I do that every day anyways. I get up, even when I feel like I can't get out of bed, I have to get to work at a certain time, you know. And I get up and I do it. And sometimes I do it and I'm grumpy, but I'm there, you know. And eventually the day gets better and I'm not so grumpy anymore. I get a little coffee and I'm doing my job, and you know, as long as I'm busy, the time will go by, you know. But I'm not doing anything I love, so it's not great. Sometimes I'm a little miserable, but I'm getting work done and I'm, you know, making money for the company. Well, putting that to making comics, I actually am. I'm doing it, the same thing, even being grumpy about it sometimes, but I'm pushing my dream forward, you know. I'm making my dream a reality, you know, instead of just dreaming. So that's really cool, and it's definitely a revelation. I mean, I feel like I thought maybe I already knew this, but apparently I didn't really know it. Because now I'm coming to know it. And that's, you know, that's that thing that people say, you know, they think they know certain things, but when they actually practice what they preach, they come to find out, like, they don't really know it until they actually have to do it, you know. So that's what I'm doing right now with the comics. So cool. That's where I'm at. It's really weird. Really awesome. Really fun. So I definitely have to send a huge shout out to Kevin Cross for initiating this, and, you know, all the other guys too, but Kevin Cross is really, I think, the one who really got the thing going. And I mean, he was doing it for like 30 or so days before anybody was really taking notice too much, you know. I think it really started to blow up around the 30 day mark, because he posted a video at one point, and, you know, the t-shirt thing kind of built up to it. And, you know, it took me at least 30 some odd days before I started actually paying attention. Like, I had it in the back of my mind, I want to watch Kevin's videos, but then I kind of forgot about it because he doesn't post every single video on his feed or anything, like on his like Facebook or anything like that. So I kind of forgot about it, and then, you know, he posted it again, and I was like, let me go check it out. And then I was like, man, that was really inspiring. So I checked another one out, checked two or three out, and then I was like, I gotta watch all of these. I gotta get it. And then it just was like super inspiring, and I'm like, I gotta do this. I mean, I got like 4 comic projects that I'm sitting on, and I'm not doing anything. I gotta just do this, you know. It doesn't make any sense to sit here anymore, you know. And so I started, and right around the same time, a bunch of other people got inspired to do it too. So it's like, now it takes sometimes, you know, a lot of work without anybody noticing before, you know, people start to catch on. And you know, people will eventually, and you got to just keep persisting, you know, on a certain thing. And, you know, you can persist for a while, make a goal to persist for like a month or, you know, 2 months or like 100 days like we're doing. And, you know, and if you get to a point where you have persisted for a while and nothing comes of it, then maybe that's a sign to quit, you know. But at least try and persist for a while on doing something on a regular basis and see if it catches on, you know. And if it does, work with the little that did catch on and increase that, you know. So right now it's kind of becoming a little bit of a viral thing for Kevin, I think, you know, as far as people, you know, doing similar art challenges, and they're inspired by him. I know I can see at least about 5 people are doing it, and I think he's talked on his show about even more people doing it. So that is super awesome. Not only is he inspiring a bunch of people, but, you know, he's also getting the word out about Monkey Mind, and he had a successful t-shirt campaign, sold 50 t-shirts, you know, I mean, I'm sure he only gets kind of a small percentage of that because he did it through a website, but still, like, that. And now more people want the t-shirt. So, you know, if you haven't gotten the t-shirt, you still can get it. You know, go to his site, or it's Teespring or whatever. I don't know the link, but, you know, I'll link to Kevin's website on the podcast. But, you know, you can, if he gets 15 more people who want to buy the shirt, they'll print up another 15 or so. So, you know, it's really cool, and he's now going to probably do some more shirts because other people are asking for more designs. So he's building something now, you know, and he's still doing his other, you know, illustration work that he has to do, but he's at least putting in his 30 minutes a day. And it's really super encouraging and interesting to watch that. And, you know, I'm so happy for him and the progress he's making, and I really wish the best for him. Like, I really want to see him make a career out of his own work, you know. And I want to see anybody doing that, because I think that's what we all really want to do. You know, we keep trying to do all these other things, and we keep trying to get illustration work or, you know, get into Marvel and do work for them. But I keep hearing from a lot of different creators is, you know, they really want to do their own projects, you know? But that's kind of something that's been, you know, that's at least part of the dream. So they pursue those things because they think, you know, they're going to have better success if they get their name out that way or something like that. But, you know, you got to at least spend a little time every day working on your own thing, or else you're never, you're always going to be working for someone else, you know. So it's really, that's like the hugest thing, I guess, that this podcast is about, is that people are doing this, you know, and people are making headway, and some people are making a living, you know. It's kind of few and far between, but it's more and more this is happening, and I think we're only on the beginning of the wave of this. I think that we're going to start seeing more people doing this. I mean, you see it with stuff that's similar to art, but not necessarily art. You see there's like some YouTube phenomenons, you know, where people are making a living just off of their hits on YouTube and ads on that, you know. There's, I don't know how many, but there's definitely, you know, a big handful worth of people who are doing that. They're either doing that or they're launching their own products through that, you know. There's a lot of people in the makeup community that my wife is into that are doing that, you know, and there's a ton of girls online doing makeup stuff, but some of them, there's at least a few that I can think of that have their own makeup line now or their own fashion line, and they're using their YouTube to promote it and stuff, but they didn't start out that way, you know. And they started out doing makeup tutorials, and maybe they worked at like MAC or something, doing like you know, makeup looks for people, or you know, they just worked at one of these makeup stores or whatever, helping people, you know, whatever, do their thing. But now they're starting to start their own makeup lines. There's at least a handful of people just doing that, you know. There's people just doing entertaining things online. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, Shaytards are just doing entertainment type of things, you know, just being goofy with their family. And they, you know, he's making a living, you know, for his family just off of YouTube. It's crazy. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things. There's a group called Pomplamoose, and they make little, like, cover songs or whatever, but they do, like, really creative things with different instruments and make fun, like, cover songs of different music, and they have their own original music, too, and they've been hitting YouTube hard for a long time, and I'm pretty sure they must be making a living off of this. They also have a Patreon, and I think they're making some money off of that, too, now. So, you know, Kickstarter and Patreon are great avenues for indie artists, you know, and people are getting their projects out. There are a few people probably starting to make a living off of Patreon. That's definitely where that's headed, you know. I personally see it, and others do too, as a piece of the pie. You know, I don't even want to have that be the majority of where the money comes from, because I want to have multiple streams. I don't want to depend on one thing. But, you know, that's hopefully going to be part of it, you know. You know, webcomic guys and girls, you know, that's well documented that people have started making a living with that, and there's a decent handful of those people who are making a living. But I think it's out there for more than a handful, you know. I think that there's the you know, it's available to all of us, and you know, it's a lot of work. Nothing that you do is going to be easy. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lot of work. That's why you need to do what you're passionate about, because it's going to be hard. I don't know. But at the same time, I don't always agree with the passion message either. So that's always going back and forth. But that's not what this is about. This is about pursuing your passion, this particular podcast. And I think it is a viable option. You know, another person who I've been really encouraged by and kind of who has spurred this whole episode is Jeff Lafferty. And that is one of the guys that was inspired by Kevin, actually. But I think Kevin was also inspired by him. Like, and if you want to really get the down low on that whole situation, definitely go to Peter Palmiotti's podcast, Independent Road. I think it's his latest podcast, unless he's, you know, uploading one today that I'm not aware of. But he did like a split podcast where half of it was Kevin Cross, an interview with Kevin Cross, and the other half was an interview with Jeff Lafferty. And, you know, because of that, I started digging into Jeff Lafferty's videos. And, man, oh, man, it's just like a podcast, like his newest ones. Like, don't treat him like you have to sit in front of a computer and watch it, you know, for an hour, because he's got long podcasts. I've been actually putting it on while I'm driving and stuff, but I just don't look at the video because he's talking about different things, and it's almost like a podcast. So you can really just get most of what you need to get just by listening to what he's saying. So, and then he just sits there and draws. So the visual part is just, you just see him draw, but he only makes a small amount of progress while he's drawing because his stuff is so super detailed, you know. So he'll sit there for an hour and work on like a face, you know. So, and it's already, it's just crazy the detail he puts it. He's like on par, in my opinion, on par with like Drew Struzan, you know. And he's got his own kind of style, but it kind of is similar to Drew's stuff. But, you know, as far as skill level and technique, he's right there, in my opinion. But, you know, the thing that's really inspiring about him is he's like an artist. Like, he's like all of us, you know. He struggles with a lot of things and a lot of insecurities and just like, you know, I want to make a living doing this, but it's so hard, and, you know, is it even possible? And he struggles with, like, you know, different things. You got to watch the show to see it, but at the same time, he's doing it. Like, he actually quit his job about 5 weeks ago today, and his goal was to make $500 a week doing his art. Now, I mean, he's already like built up, you know, an audience to a certain extent, and he's already had some small successes, creating, you know, selling stuff on eBay, actually a lot of success, but not to the point where he's making a living. But he did, I guess he made a living for a few years doing sketch cards and stuff, but then he had to go back to work, it wasn't working out or something, I guess. But he's trying it again, and he quit his job. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to go back to my job or not. You know, he took a week off because of some family issues. And then, you know, he's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep drawing. I think I'm just going to not go back to work. And it's just crazy to, like, go through the first videos of this series. And it's, like, really fun, you know, on an outsider perspective. But he's like, it's like he's one of those artists, just like all of us, who kind of have insecurities and kind of like are not sure and whatnot. But he's also behind it, there's like an optimism too. And he's like, you know, this stuff really does work. And, you know, you just got to push and work at it. And you can do it too, you know. And like, just because, like, he's a pretty amazing artist, and I think he knows it, but he's not arrogant about it. He's very humble, but he's not afraid to be confident about it, which is also something I really admire in the guy. You know, he can say when his stuff, he's like, yeah, I like how that turned out. That's pretty good. You know, I love hearing that because you don't hear that from artists. They're like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good, but I still suck, you know, type of thing. You know, I do that. And he even, you know, gets to that sometimes a little bit, but it's just really cool to see when he's confident. And he's also like, but he's like, you know, you can do it too. You don't have to do this crazy detailed Drew Struzan style type of stuff to do it. He used to do the same thing, making a decent amount of money with just doing like nudes. And you know, that's just kind of a basic thing. Like it, but he does more of a movie art and fan art type of stuff now, but that's, he does it because that's what he likes, you know, that's what he loves. And he kind of goes a traditional route with his art, you know. Like, I mean, if you think about it, I was thinking, you know, well, he's doing a lot of licensed stuff or whatever, or like he's, you know, he's just doing kind of copies of things he sees, you know, using a lot of reference, which is, I love doing, actually. It's really fun to do. But, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's a little bit easier to do that than to draw from your imagination. Actually, drawing from your imagination is really hard. But I don't think that makes it any less value. I think both are very valuable, in my opinion, skills to have. But, you know, that's kind of how he does his thing. And, but, you know, he says, you know, you can make a living doing this stuff. You just got to work at it, and you got to find the avenue in it, and keep pressing and keep trying, you know. And once you find something, expand on that. And he uses some affiliate marketing stuff on his website. He uses eBay, he uses Patreon, and he's got a few different things going for him. And, you know, but he's worked hard to get these things built up. And, you know, hold up, I gotta back up here real quick. But yeah, he's taken a while to get these things built up. And, you know, so when he decided to quit his job, he kind of had the ball rolling already. And now he's doing a video every day, just talking, you know, and it's like a podcast a day almost, an hour's worth of content. And, you know, sometimes he just meanders about different things that's going on in his life. Sometimes he talks about art. Sometimes he talks about, you know, the business side of stuff. And I enjoy all of it, really. You know, he's got a lot of cool stories to tell, and I love seeing his art and seeing his process and seeing his selling process. And I'm super amped up. You know, you gotta check this guy's stuff out. And not everybody will agree with, you know, what he does, but, you know, he does address that actually in a recent video. I asked him the question, and a few other people, I think a lot of people have asked him the question, and some people criticize him, but I personally, I think, I get what he's saying, and I kind of, agree, you know. And I'm not, he doesn't care if people agree anyways. He's doing his thing the way he feels like he should do it, and, you know, more power to him. And, you know, I actually want to maybe do some similar things as well. But, you know, you may not agree with him using like licensed stuff or whatever. But I think it's all right personally. And, you know, either way, it's just to see his technique and just to see what he's doing. It's amazing, you know, and I'm super inspired. And even just by the business, to watch how the business works, find a way to do it where you're not using licensed stuff. You know, that stuff does sell too. I mean, if you just got to find the right thing, you know, that you like drawing that people like to buy. That's all. Which, you know, that sounds, oh, that's simple, but it's not that obviously that simple. But, you know, if you search around, I search around on eBay to see some of the different art things that people are selling. A lot of people sell like animal things and stuff, drawings of animals and different creative things with that, landscapes, you know, stuff that people want to hang on their walls and whatnot, which a lot of that stuff isn't stuff I'm interested in drawing. But, you know, people do a lot of sketch cards and stuff. That's kind of a big thing. A lot of people make money off of that. it's kind of hard to make a living straight off of that, I think, but, you know, that could be one avenue, and I think I'm going to try to get into some of that, you know. At least try it, you know. I mean, to me, I don't really criticize any artist who's making money off of their art, you know, because it's just too hard to make money off of art. So to me, almost any method is a valuable method, in my opinion, you know, because as long as you're not, I mean, there are certain boundaries you probably shouldn't step over, you know, but, you know, that's up to you, really, and, like, personally, I don't actually criticize this at all, but I personally am not going to be doing, like, porn comics or something like that. That's something that I don't want to do. But at the same time, people do make a living doing that, or that part of their living doing that, and it's one way to do it, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, so there's all kinds of different things you can do, but, you know, the point is, there's a way, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and we can figure out ways to do this, you know. And the way I'm going to do it is, well, it's to be determined, really. I'm going to try a bunch of things, but, and I have tried a bunch of things, but it probably is going to be a mix of things, you know. I'm going to try to do some of the fan art stuff, the sketch card stuff, prints. I really want to get into prints because that makes a lot more sense, you know. It's really tough to make a living just off of the original things you make. You know, you got to get into some prints, some residual income, maybe some digital download type of stuff. That stuff's going to really help you along if you can get some of that stuff going. And you will also do the originals as well, you know, but also the comic stuff, you know, intellectual properties and creating toys off of those things and creating different, you know, t-shirts and whatever, you know. I want to try a lot of these things, and that's what Donkey Jaw Projects is all about and going to be about. And also, like, I can hopefully supplement with some music stuff, you know. I really want to get some stuff going with music, but it might not be me being an MC as much. That's something I'll always do as fun, but, you know, awesome if that takes off, but it hasn't for all these years I've tried it so far, but maybe it will. But, you know, I'm also interested in maybe making some more instrumental type of albums, things that can cater to anybody, you know, different styles and everything. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we're so pessimistic, and I want to just try, I'm really catching the bug to be optimistic, and, I'm really seeing, it's really cool seeing some of these people, you know, jump out on their own and creating transitions to start doing this full time. And, you know, I think it's a valid point to try to do that, you know. I don't think you should just, like, if you have a family, just, you know, stop doing your job and you know, start doing your comic and saying you're going to do that, you know. You got to be responsible, but try to make some kind of transition. If you're getting some good bites on some stuff and you're starting to make some headway, but you just don't have enough time to do everything you want to do, and you're making some decent side money, it might be time to make that jump or find a way to transition into a point, save up enough where you can transition and try it out for a month, and then maybe that month will be the key to you making a living doing it, you know. Another guy, I think his name is Will Terrell, I think. He's a YouTuber. He's moving to California, and he just did a video about that and how it's kind of a leap of faith. And he was really encouraging. And there's just a lot of people doing this thing right now, and that's where I want to be. And I'm looking at these guys, and I'm going to try to do some of the stuff they're doing, and business-wise and all that, and, you know, and I'm just excited. There's so many things, and I'm just going to be pushing this thing, you know, And I hope you guys are excited too, because I think we all have the potential to do this thing. I think there's going to be a big wave of this, and the independent route is, I think, the way to go, you know. I think you're going to get a lot more leverage that way. And then, you know, maybe you will have some things you do for customers too here and there, but let that be one thing. Let that be one stream of income while you're still always, all even if it's primarily that, you know, always be working on your own stuff and getting your own stuff out there into the world, because you're not going to really make progress until you do that. You're not really pushing yourself and your vision forward until you're doing that. So yeah, that's about it. You know, I'm just going to leave it at that, and hopefully it wasn't too rambly. Hopefully it was interesting and inspiring, and let me know what you guys think. I'm also hoping to do I think I really want to get into doing interviews soon, so look for that. I'd like to interview almost anybody, especially people who are making a living doing this, but really just almost anybody. So even if you want to be interviewed on this, let me know. You know, let's make it happen. But yeah, that's about it. Thanks for your support. You guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. Again, you can always go to Donkey Jaw Projects, leaveacomment.com and leave a comment, or go to patreon.com/plex and, you know, maybe throw a few bucks my way a month. That would be cool too. Very helpful. And yeah, that's about it. You guys are awesome. And I will talk to you next week, because I'm going to try to make it weekly. I'll next time, you know, we'll be talking. So thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. I'll talk to you later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.